Hey guys, what is up? My name is Yanis, and today on the show we have here Stefan Arnio. He's an incredible person. He's an award-winning real investor and entrepreneur, an author, and also the winner of 2014 Rich Dad Hall of Fame Award. Stefan has been featured in the Canadian Real Estate Wealth Magazine and the Entrepreneur Magazine, which named him one of the top 10 real estate influencers to follow. He's someone that just started out with 1.2K and managed to build a multi-million dollar portfolio and been recognized on the self-made list. What an intro. Welcome to the show, Stefan.
No, thanks for having me, Yanis.
It's unbelievable. So basically, for the people that don't know you, Stefan, who are you, what do you do, and what's your story?
Yeah, so I started out as a kid, 16 years old, Yanis. I wanted to be a rock star, and I wanted to be rich, I wanted to be famous, I wanted to be on stage. You know, I think a lot of kids feel that way. And I said to my mom and dad, I want to be a rock star. They said, it's a horrible idea, but we support you. So why don't you go to university and get a music degree, because that apparently is a good idea for rock stars. Actually, a horrible idea. But I went and got a major in English and a minor in music at the University of Manitoba here. And I graduated, and I was broke. I had a $10 an hour job in a call center. I hated my life. And I started to discover, I read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I discovered real estate investing. And I gave up music, and I went full-time into real estate entrepreneurship, and before 30, became a self-made millionaire. So, you know, I won Rich Dad Hall of Fame. I've written 5 books now, and I still do real estate every day, but I also train people in how to become a millionaire in 5 years. So that's what I do now.
Amazing. And what's the reason for you starting this?
Which, the training?
Everything. Like, why did you decide to become an entrepreneur? Because I guess having a 9-to-5 job is easier, but what's the reason behind all the things that you managed to create?
Well, that's a good question. I think that there's a theory that by age 7, the child is formed. So at age 7, what I did was I built Lego towns and I played video games and I, you know, was in plays and I was, you know, building things. I've always done that. And I always said to myself, I never wanted to have a job. I wanted to be an inventor. So I'm just living life as an inventor. I invent things. I build things. I try things out. I show people how it works. And, you know, it's what I've always done as a child. And I just continue doing the same things, building my Lego town. That's all I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. I get that. I can see that you're doing an amazing job on Instagram. And basically that's how we got in touch. And something that really, you know, got my attention was all the fact and all the ideas you share about the failure and the, you know, the importance of you being, you know, consistent with your actions in order to get to where you want, no matter what happens.
Right. And
I believe that people need to realize that struggles are going to happen and failure is your path to success. But mm-hmm. I would like to know, what were your struggles during your journey and how you managed to overcome this?
Well, there's struggles every day. Yanis, you know, like, I'll give you one of my struggles right now. I need $1 million coming in the next 60 days. I have $1 million going out in the next 60 days. That's a lot of money, right? So, you know, your struggles are always happening. And, you know, whether you're beginning or you're ending, there's always struggle. You always don't have the money. You always don't have the time. You're always scared. You got your own ego and pride to deal with. Like, that's human, man. That's what being a human is. So, your struggles, no matter what level you're at, never go away. When you're rich, you still got money problems. When you're poor, you still got money problems. When you're rich, you still got fear. When you're poor, you still got fear. When you're rich, you still have pride and ego. When you're poor, you still have pride and ego. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to just get out of your own way and get to the next level, whatever that is, and do whatever it takes to get to the next level. Because we're living in a world right now, Yanis, where things are changing very fast. And if you don't change with them, you're going to be dead. You're going to be wiped out. You're going to be absolutely swept to the side because things are going fast. And to live the safe life right now is the most risky thing you can do. You got to be changing. You got to be dynamic. You got to be learning because things are going real fast right now and they're changing real fast. You can't just go to school and get a job anymore. It doesn't work like that, bro.
Yeah. And I wish that we knew that when we were younger, right? And that's what also Rich Dad Poor Dad says on the book, that these are things that should be in the education when we were like little kids. You should learn about money. You should learn about all these mindsets. And I'm really happy we are on the same page here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think are your mindsets regarding money, or how your mindsets regarding money changed over the years?
Well, there's a lot of big mindset shifts with money. One of them is switching from scarcity to abundance. You could switch from fear to gratitude, you know, where you're afraid and you're worried. You could switch to gratitude. One of the big shifts for me was to understand that money doesn't exist. Money is fake. It doesn't exist. I'm wearing $11,000 of bracelets right now just for fun. But guess what? It doesn't exist. So when you understand that money doesn't exist, it's almost like that movie, The Matrix, where they learn how to stop bullets and they learn how to bend walls and fly because they realize that the Matrix doesn't exist. And that's what money is, dude. It doesn't exist. And if you know how to manipulate money and manipulate value, that's how money's created. So you have to learn to master money, learn to create money. Learn what money is. It doesn't exist. Money is just an idea backed by confidence. That's all it is. So you got to have better ideas and more confidence, and you're going to have more money, bro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. I like that. Actually, I remember doing some research about all the things that you're doing, and I came across a nice video where you basically discuss the five stages that, or four stages, I don't remember exactly, that someone needs to go through in order to become a millionaire.
And yeah, five stages to be a millionaire.
So one of them was about learning to sell and get involved in sales. What do you think is such a big importance? Because many people are afraid to sell and they don't want to sell because they don't want to look like salesy.
So you mean selling? Yeah, well, selling it's an art and it's a science, and you have to know both. Now, I've written some books about selling. I've written this book, The Close. I'm just going to pull it off the shelf here, right here. This book, The Close, this yellow book, if you need to learn to sell, you got to learn this. And, you know, it's a tough world now where you're right. People want to buy, but they don't want to be sold. So you have to learn to do that. So, you know, we're talking a little about seduction. You got to seduce those people. So it's their idea that they want to buy. And that's, you know, that's branding, that's marketing, that's seduction. That's a whole nother thing. But at the end of the day, you got to know how to sell. You got to know how to negotiate. Dude, this is like my last negotiation book I got on the shelf. 10 Commandments of Negotiation. It's another one of my books. You got to learn to negotiate. That's how you close the deal. So closing, selling, marketing, negotiating, branding, those are all the skills you got to know if you want to play this entrepreneur game. This is a hard game, man. It's super hard. It's not easy. It takes 10 years. It takes 10,000 hours. You might get sick. You might lose your family. You might lose your spouse. You might lose your hair. I got gray hair now. I used to have brown hair. Dude, I used to have blonde hair when I was born. I'm just getting worse every day. So it is a hard game, man. It's a hard-ass game, but the rewards are amazing. It's the ultimate rewards in life, I think, are in entrepreneurship. The ultimate freedom is in entrepreneurship. You have power. You can go places and do things, and you can travel and you can help people. And there's all sorts of things you can do with entrepreneurship. You can do what you want at a certain point. Usually after 10 years and 10,000 hours in the business, you can do that. But it's scary. It's hard. It can kill you. It can mess you up. It can fuck with your brains. It can do all sorts of stuff. So you gotta make the decision. Do you want to be in or out of the game? Because the game is a serious game, and you know, it's mostly professionals playing the game. There's some amateurs, and then everybody else gets kicked out.
Mm-hmm. What's your opinion about work-life balance?
Hard, man. I mean, right now I'm in hypergrowth. My company's growing at 400% right now. I have no work-life balance at all. One thing my mentor said to me years ago that I thought was super good about work-life balance is that he said, if you're growing, there is no balance. To grow, you must be out of balance. Just like walking, you're walking down the road, and to walk forward, you have to fall forward, let your feet catch you. Fall forward, let your feet catch you. That's out of balance to walk forward in life. So, you know, if you want to be in balance, you're probably not moving. And if you're out of balance, you're probably moving somewhere. So balance is relative to different people. I live a crazy life, and I like to live a crazy life. Other people like to have a boring, secure life. It's a different life. And you got to figure out what flavor is going to make you happy and what's your purpose on this earth. And then you got to decide what is balance, because there's no such thing as normal and there's no such thing as balance, bro.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that you mentioned the word purpose and the why as well. You know, it's important to know the reason why you're doing all those things, because when you don't have, you know, a clear vision for where you want to go and where your company needs to eventually end up, even if you don't get there, I mean, it's important to having something to work for and not be just going blindly on the war. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Yeah, well, you got to have a reason why you're fighting this battle. Why are you doing this? Why are you going on the adventure? Why bother? You know, there has to be a strong why and there has to be a purpose. And, you know, right now I've changed my purpose. I'm here to heal the men. So I just wrote this book, Hard Times Create Strong Men, and I'm here to heal the men, not just men who can afford me, you know, any man. I want to heal the men. And I've been a wounded man before. I've had a wounded father, and I've had to learn to heal myself and heal others, heal other men. So I'm a healer of men, man. That's what I am. That's my purpose. But, you know, it didn't start out like that. It wasn't easy like that. It wasn't simple like that. That has come over years and years and years of trying to figure out what are you here to do on this planet.
Mm-hmm. I actually gave a look to the book and it's unbelievable. I really love, because you basically mentioned all the important things about, you know, something that male need to know when they start growing and going to relationships, politics, religion, all those things.
Right.
So can you talk a little bit more, first of all, about the reason why you chose to write this book?
Yeah, so I wrote Hard Times Create Strong Men. And you know what? This is one of the last of the original 2,500 copies. So we're sold out. We are sold out, bro. It comes out April 1st, Yanis. And this cover is done. So we got a new cover coming out with Spartans on it. And why did I write the book? You know, I wrote the book for, I came back from fasting in the jungle last year. I did 18 days of no food, just water. And I came home and all my young male employees were saying, I don't like you. You're mean. I don't like doing this. This isn't my dream. And they're complaining to me like teenage girls. And I had to sit them down and have the how to be a man talk like their dad would. And it was 6 hours over, I think, two sessions in a week. And I said, why am I having this talk with these guys? Don't they have dads? And I looked into it. They don't have dads. So where did the dads go? Then I went home and I started writing out how to be a man. And 11 days later, we got a 624-page book, How to Be a Man in Money, Sex, Religion, and Politics, based on history, not opinions and feelings. So I did the research. I said, this is how to be a man, boys. Now, it's funny. Those two guys quit. They couldn't hack my office. I got better men now. And, you know, it's the guys in my office, a lot of them have dads, which is good. It's interesting. If a man doesn't have a dad, or if the boy doesn't have a dad, he becomes weak. And he can't do his work and he cries and he's kind of like a woman. He emotes and cries and whines when things get hard and he doesn't have a good relationship with his work or criticism. And if a young girl doesn't have a dad, she ends up becoming a stripper or a prostitute. It's actually really bad. If people don't have dads, the men get weak and the women become strippers. It's really, really bad for our little society here to lose the men, and we've lost the men. So this book here, Hard Times Create Strong Men, is medicine to heal the men, fix the men, help the women, help everybody, because people need dads. They need men. They don't need boys, and we don't need boys acting like girls. Doesn't work well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because I believe that I won't talk a lot about the fact with the whole flirting thing, because I feel like men should approach more and flirt more, and the same goes with women as well.
We're talking about flirting with women?
Yeah, men should flirt with women more.
We're talking about that. Okay, cool. Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. So what's your opinion about that, by the way?
Flirting with women?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends. Are you married or not? If you're married, you probably shouldn't be flirting with women. If you're committed in a relationship, you shouldn't be. But if you're a single guy, I mean, I guess it's fair game. At the end of the day, what I've learned, Yanis, about women is if you wouldn't marry her, you probably shouldn't date her. And if you wouldn't marry her, you probably shouldn't be flirting with her. So it's a tough thing, man. I mean, I really think that I've got the statistics. I mean, I've got my own training company. The best men are married with kids. Married men with kids, usually Christian men, actually, are the white Christian men, usually white, usually Christian, usually men married with kids, outperform every other class of person. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that in like a, oh, these guys are better or anything. It's just, they just do it. They have a wife who's pushing them and taking care of them. They have kids. They have a strong why. They usually have a bunch of money on the line. Everything's on the line. They have to do it, right? Everybody else, single guys, don't have to do it. So I encourage young men to be married or single and celibate and mostly stay away from girls. Dude, I got into pickup and I became a womanizer. I had 8 girlfriends at the same time. I fucked up my life. Everything got upside down. I've almost died from it. I mean, literally almost died. So, you know, pickup artistry is fun and you can go pick up some girls. I talk about pickup artistry in this book and it's fun. It's cool. You'll have a lot of sex, but hey, guess what? You will fuck your life up at some point and you will have to get some religion to get out of that, because that's a real death spiral, man. When you got 8 girlfriends or 10 girlfriends, you can't find your way out of that. You can get really lost, man. So you gotta be careful with that stuff. You know, they talk about that in the Bible. You gotta be careful with that. It's really powerful stuff. And you can fall in love with the wrong woman that you should never have fell in love with, but you had great sex. And because you had great sex with her, now you're in love and now you're fucked. So you got to be careful, dude, with using your penis, using your dick. If you put that in the wrong kind of crazy, wrong girl, you're going to be fucking crazy too. And then that shit turns out really bad. So I'm the old man saying to the young man, hey, dude, be careful what you do. Don't put your dick in crazy.
Okay. Yeah. Good job. You need to hit the gong, I think, now.
Yeah, you want to hit the gong? We'll say it like this. Don't put your dick in crazy. What do you think, 80? You think that's going to be good content? I'll say, hold it. Order in the court. Don't put your dick in crazy. Or how about this? Do the whistle. I'm blowing the whistle on putting your dick in crazy.
Yeah, I think I might have to cut a few things, but don't worry about it. Don't worry.
I think we're going to use that, Aiden. Let's put "don't put your dick in crazy." I think that'll be some of our best content. I don't know if Yanis is going to use it. We're going to use it. Hard times. Don't put your dick in crazy.
Awesome. Love that. All right. So let me go back into the manhood. What's your definition of being a man? Because I think many young males specifically are feeling lost with what it means to be a man of your own, a man who is hustling, a man who is trying, a man who is building the business, a man who is providing for his family. What is, at the end of the day, a man?
So that's a tough question to answer, Jens, because it's a simple question. What does it mean to be a man? Well, you know, there's 4 parts to a man's life that I wrote down: money, sex, religion, politics. So in his money, a man's purpose is his work. He's got to wake up in the morning, go to work. Guess what? We don't have a uterus. We don't have ovaries. We can't bear children. We must go to work. So if you're a man, typically men are judged by their value on how their work is. That's usually how men judge other men. That's how women judge men. It's how good is he at his work? Can this guy produce? So that's money. Now, next thing is sex. So, you know, a man typically is supposed to be the leader in the sexual relationship, supposed to be leading. He's supposed to be protecting his woman. He's supposed to be with a woman he loves. You know, there's a whole bunch of like subjects inside of that. And the next one's religion. You know, a man should have a relationship with God, whatever he thinks God is and whatever God he worships. A man to access the unlimited powers of being a man, you know, the limitless power that we have in the spiritual realm, a man needs a relationship with God. And we've taken, you know, God or all religions out of the conversation, society, and it's really bad for men. And then the last one's politics, and a man should protect his own tribe. Whatever his tribe is, men protect their own tribe. It's very basic, you know. If you have money, you vote right wing because you're protecting your money. If you don't have money, you vote left wing because you want to take someone's money. It's really basic. So a man just protects his tribe. That's what he does. He protects his women. He does his work. You know, he's got a relationship with God. Really basic stuff, dude. It's basic, but we forgot. And it's not simple, dude. It's 624 pages, big book. But inside that book is the keys and the history and the statistics on how did men do it when it worked. Because guess what? We are so far away from having dads and having information that we need. We have to go buy a book on how to be a man. That's how fucked up the world is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Get that. I know, dude, I should blow the whistle on that too, eh? I'm going to blow the whistle on the world being fucked up. You know, whatever.
Yeah. All right. True. True. It is. It is happening. And it's a bad thing. I hate it. I hate to admit it as well. But, you know, especially in the age group of 20 to 30 years old, I see so many males being definitely confused and overwhelmed from not knowing where to go. And it well, is
you
so-
know what? Yeah, Yannis, it's not just males. It's females, too. Everybody's confused. Everybody's confused. And we've become a society of hustlers and whores where all the men are hustlers and the women are whores. And it's a complete disaster because the men are just trying to hustle and they're not thinking about long-term value and the women are whores and they're just whoring themselves out. They're not thinking about long-term value. And that's where things collapse. That's where things fall apart. When the world becomes a den of hustlers and whores and everybody's just trying to get a quick, easy fix, that's bad. You know, you got to think long-term. You got to think long-term value. You can't be whoring yourself out. You can't be just hustling and trying to make a quick buck. You got to build a real company, build some value. So, you know, people and know the male guidance and male leadership is gone. You know, everybody has a mummy and their mummy tells them that it's okay to be a snowflake and it's okay to, you know, you can take a day off work when you're not feeling super good, take a me day. You can slow down. But guess what? In the real life of the world, second place sucks in the real life of the world. You know, in the jungle with lions and gazelles, that lion's got to run. That gazelle's got to run. Somebody's dying every day in the jungle in nature. And nature doesn't care about your mummy and how comfortable it is. You know, like in the real game, we only have men's basketball. There's no women's basketball in real life. There's no second place. And you got to go and perform and be a man. And that's something that men just haven't heard because nobody says be a man anymore. Hey, just go do it. Fix it. Be a man.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they say the other thing as well, be yourself. Don't be yourself. Like, be your best self.
Ooh, right? Damn, you should gong that. Damn, bro, you get a gong for that.
Drop.
Yeah, mic drop. Yeah. There we go.
Cool. Yeah. Now, let me ask you something else because on my Instagram, I sought out the fact that we're doing an interview and people looked up your stuff and there was a repetitive pattern of questions that were coming on my DMs and everyone was asking me, okay, how do you start and when do you start being a real investor? Like that was the repetitive question that was coming on my DMs again and again. What would you say to these people?
So, look, dude, I mean, being an investor is hard. I'll just say that right away. It's like being in shape. It's like being in a relationship. It's not easy. What I do for people is I wrote this book, Self-Made. I think you read it. Self-Made, we give that out on my Instagram for $1.99. So $1.99, you can get that book. And it shows how I got started as an investor. Really what you got to do is you got to start getting educated so you're smart. Start reading up on it, investing. And then you need to get a mentor or a coach. Someone has to help you. Because guess what? It's not easy. So you need a mentor. You need a coach. You need a book, couple books. And that's how I got started. I got started with the books. Then I started going to seminars. Then eventually when I started getting good, well, I hired a coach. Then I became good. Just like sports, you know, if you want to be good at sports, you probably need a personal coach. If you want to be good at it, if you're just an amateur, fine, you don't need a coach. But if you want to be really good, you need a coach.
100%, 100%. A mentor and a coach is the most important thing. And this is, I personally believe, is the first place you need to invest your money in. Before thinking about real estate or stocks or anything, invest in yourself by hiring a mentor to cut the learning curve.
Well, you gotta have a mentor in the learning curve. I gave you a gong there because if you don't have a mentor, well, you're just screwed. Like you just can't do it. And you know, dude, I've been calling some mentors this week who are 70-year-olds, 60-year-olds, late 50s. I'm 32, so my mentors are old, dude. They're not young guys anymore. 63, 70, 65, 58. These guys have been through the wars. And I'm 32 And I'm out there mentoring guys who are younger than me, 25 maybe. So, you know, I'm a mentor to the younger people. And then I got really old guys who are almost dying. You know, literally, I was negotiating a deal the other day. The vendor died. The guy I was buying from died during the negotiation. So I'm dealing with the old guys and I'm mentoring the young guys. And I don't have time to mentor everybody. That's why I do my channel. I do my Instagram, where I get to mentor people and give them all this great knowledge. Some of them become customers of mine. Some of them don't. Who cares? I'm here to mentor the world.
Mm-hmm. Who is the person that you look up to? Who is your role model, quote unquote?
Oh, dude, there's a lot, man. I got a list of lists and lists and lists of people I want to be, you know, and I admire so many people. You know, I can admire something about anybody. So, you know, I take pieces of people that I like. There's certain things I like, you know. In jazz music, I like Miles Davis. If I was a chef, I like Gordon Ramsay. You know, I like President Trump. I think he's pretty cool. I like Steve Jobs of Apple. I like Richard Branson. I like a lot of people, right? So I'm studying a lot of people. A lot of the people I'm interested in studying are mostly billionaires and artists. That's mostly what I look at, is billionaires and artists. Those are the most interesting things to my brain. So my list is a lot of artist billionaires, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And let's say that you get the chance to meet someone, or even if it's Steve Jobs, who is not alive anymore, what kind of question would you like to ask to these people?
Steve Jobs, or to what person would I dig up from the grave?
Let's start with that, and then what question you would do to him or her?
You know, I'd like to go meet Jesus, actually. And I'd like to know more about him, because that's an interesting person in history. You know, that's a real interesting man. And I fasted for 40 days like Jesus did, and man, was it crazy. And I saw what he saw, and I'd be curious to know more about him and what he was like as a person, a real person, not the stuff that's written down in the books about him, but who was he actually? I'd be really interested to have a conversation with Jesus.
Nice. Never heard that before, and would definitely be a nice conversation for sure. That's a nice perspective.
Yeah, why not? I'd like to know about him as a man, not what's written in the books. Like, what was he actually like, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting with somebody like Jesus. I don't think the people in the churches would like Jesus very much if he was alive. The churches and the government probably hate him, and they probably crucify him now. But you know, because that's what happened back then. The churches and the people, the religious people, crucified him. Well, if he was alive today, they'd probably do the same thing, because human nature doesn't change. So I'd be really interested to meet Jesus, because, dude, I walked as he walked, and I saw as he saw after I did a 40-day water fast. And some of the shit I saw, I could not say to a church. They would fuck me up if I went in a church and said some of the shit that I saw after 40 days of water fasting.
40 days.
40 days, bro. No food in the jungle. I just came back 2 weeks ago. So I'm wearing all my, look, dude, I got all my jungle shit on here. I got all my beads. I got stones on from the jungle. I carry this stuff around with me because I just like to feel that, you know. This is a healing stone from the jungle. And I just came back like that. And yeah, man, it's a real experience fasting. You get to really clean out your mind, body, soul, spirit.
Mm-hmm. I've done only a 3-day fast, and it was a great experience overall. But I like the fact that you're mentioning the importance of, you know, stop eating, because then you prove, at least from the, not from the spiritual perspective, but for me, it was a great experience to realize that it's my mind that controls the body. Same with cold showers, same with fasting, same with doing something uncomfortable that you don't want to do. And especially in business, I mean, you have to do uncomfortable things almost every single day.
Bro, there's some days I'm like, how the fuck did I get in this? Some days I'm just like, oh my God. And some days you're winning and it's amazing. And some days you're losing and you're like, kill me now. So, dude, there's a lot of, it's a real ride. Entrepreneurship is pretty tough, depending on how high you go. You know, if you start out and you just want to make 100 grand or 40 grand, yeah, that's not that hard. I'm in the space now where, there's very, very few people left that go to the levels that I'm in. Like, I'm already top tenth of a percent of the population. And now it just becomes micro fractions of people. Like, it's very lonely at the top because nobody understands what you're doing. And that's, you know, that's how people make friends. Usually it's you share problems or you know about each other's lives. But when you're the guy and you got problems like nobody else, you got no one to talk to. It gets very lonely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful said. Couldn't agree more. What about habits, daily habits? Because a big part of this podcast and the things that I'm involved with are about habits and productivity. So do you have a kind of a morning routine or set of habits throughout your day that help you to perform at the highest levels?
Yeah. So right now I'm kind of upside down because I just came out of the jungle and my company's in hyper growth, growing at 400%. And all of a sudden I have 90 days of backlog. But typically what I was doing when I was in more balance, which I'm going to get back on in probably a week or less, we just got a crazy tour going on, is I got 10 habits that I do. And I write them down in my high performance journal. So this is my journaling program. Actually, this is on for 50% off right now. You can get this for half price. And what we do in the high performance journal is you got your big three goals for 90 days. And then what I do is I like to have a health goal. I like to have a money goal and then a relationship / happiness goal. Like, what's a happiness goal for you? Because it's usually relationships. Relationships and happiness are kind of the same. And then in that, I break down my week, and my week every day I got 10 habits. So, you know, there's things in there like fuel, which is I had a big smoothie this morning, lots of fruit, lots of good stuff, get me fueled. Fitness. Well, my fitness is getting totally fucked up right now because I've been just working like crazy to get everything balanced when I go off the plane. But, you know, fitness every day to do that. Then there's meditate, revelate. So you meditate. What did you see on the meditation? You write that down. There's, I'm trying to think of all, I appreciate on my primary relationship, which I don't have one. So I appreciate on my secretary, Tara. I appreciate on another family member. And then I also, you got to manage your sex and celibacy. You can't be wasting your sexual energy. And then the last one there is discover and declare. So I'll read something and I'll write about it. So those are the 10 things every day. I call that, you know, your core time between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m., 3 hours before you start work. That's when you should be doing your core. Now, I've been getting up at 5, but I got on the fucking phone right away and I started making calls at 5 a.m. I was making calls at 3:30 a.m. a week ago because I'm just getting all my shit together. All of a sudden, a big pile of shit dumped on me. But dude, like, you know, between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m., that's when you want to do your habits. And that's what's in the high performance journal. So we actually put in here 15 habits that the wealthiest top performers of the world, artists, athletes, Olympians, billionaires do. And it's all in the journal. So that's half price right now at the store, respectthegrind.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Couple of quick questions before we wind up. This is some questions I always ask people before we end the show. So first of all, what is your favorite quote?
You know what? Right now, a quote that I've been saying, and this is in my own words, is in the land of liars and criminals, the truth is criminal and a lie.
Gong, please.
Yeah, you want some gong for that? That's some hard time shit right there. In the land of criminals and liars, the truth is criminal and a lie. So I'm telling the truth to people and they make me out like a renegade, a criminal and a liar, but I'm just here telling the truth. And that's why I say Jesus, if he was alive, he told the truth to the people and man, oh man, they killed him. As soon as he came out with the truth, they fucking strung him up and started nailing him to the cross and they speared him to death. And so that's where in the land of criminals and liars, the truth is criminal and a lie. So they'll try to make you the bad guy for telling them the truth. And that's why Hard Times is hitting so hard right now. People fucking love this book. Boom, it's rated R. It's got a warning on the front for swears. It says, warning, do not read this book if you're easily offended. Burn it instead. And it's rated R. It says right here on the back, money, sex, religion, politics, broken ideas of men and women. We'll fix it right now.
Boom. Awesome.
Boom, mic drop.
Let me ask you something else here. What would you do if something happens and you lose everything?
Well, I was thinking about that yesterday. Well, that's a really interesting question. You know, it's interesting. I built a really crazy business. I built a really crazy brand. I don't know if I would build this again. It's actually a really hard thing to build. Takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of energy, and it can even fucking kill you trying to build what I built. So I don't know if I'd rebuild this thing, but I'd probably go back to being a writer. I'd probably write some books. I'd probably go back to blogging, actually, and be a blogger. And I'd probably, I don't know, maybe I'd have a lifestyle blog for a bit. I don't know. But if I wanted to rebuild this, I could rebuild it much faster, probably in 2 years instead of 10, because you become so much smarter.
True, true. You know the hacks now, so you can always rebuild it, I guess.
Oh, the hacks. Well, here's the real hack. Real hack, Yannis, is there is no hack. You got to respect the grind, bro. You see on the sign behind me? You got to respect the grind. And that's what you got to do. You got to respect that, because it takes 10 years and 10,000 hours to be a master, and you can't cut the line. There's no silver bullet. There's no hacks. There's no magic. You know, pickup artistry, you know, I like, you know, that was fun. You get to have sex with a lot of girls, but guess what? That's mostly bullshit, okay? You're going to fuck your life up on that. Just like hacks, man. There's no easy way to make money. There's no, you know, there's ways to speed up the process. Like a good coach and a good mentor can speed up the process for you. They can multiply your learning, but there's no hacks, dude. There's no shortcut. You still have to put in the work. You still got to do the push-ups, the sit-ups, the running. You still got to put in the 10,000 hours. You still got to take the risk and feel the emotions, and you're never going to escape that. And that's something I think I call my show Respect the Grind, because people don't respect that. And you got to respect it, man. And that's why I say we got to respect, you know? You got to be in that to win that and stay in there and be prepared to do the 10 years, 10,000 hours, because that's what it takes. And dude, I said to my mom, I was talking to my mom this morning, I said, look, I did 20 years of work in 10 years. So I worked double time every day for 10 years just to get to this point. And I think right now I'm coming to a position of power. I'm winning hardcore right now. But dude, it took 20 years of work done in 10 years. Like, what 32-year-old has 5 books published? Not very many. So, you know, if you want to pay the price, you can have it. But that's the key with success. If success is painful, you must pay in full. Write that down. I'll put that here. You must pay in full for success, man. I'm dropping the hammer on that. You got to pay in full, dude. You can't cut the line. You can't do it cheaper. You can't quit. You can get a coach or somebody to show you the way to speed it up, but that is not a hack, dude. You still got to have the muscles and the legs to run the race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're right on that. Totally agree. Yeah,
no hacks. Take the hacks out of your vocabulary. It's no hacks.
Like that. I got to respect the grind for sure. But you might have a gong and a hammer, but I have another power that I haven't talked to you about it. Can help people to go back in time and meet their younger self.
Oh, damn. Okay,
so
let's
wait,
do this.
Let me do the magic. There you go. So, what would you say to your younger self if you ever meet him? And
how old am I? How old?
9.
9. Ooh, at 9. You know, if I was talking to my 9-year-old self, I'd say, look, man, you got to listen to yourself, listen to your body. If you don't like something, get out of it. Do what you want to do. Stick with the things you're interested in. And, you know, you want to be an inventor, stick with that. Don't get lost. And don't listen to what other people say. Go with your own gut and your own intuition. That's what I'd say to my 9-year-old self. If I was 16, I'd say drop out of high school and go sell vacuums for a living. That's what I'd say to my 16-year-old self.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. But, yeah, drop out of school.
Okay. Last question. Many of the people watching this video, some of them are starting right now. Some of them are solopreneurs. Some of them lead their own teams. And some of them wishing in becoming sometime an entrepreneur. For all the people that watch this podcast, what would your advice be to them? What's your number one advice to someone?
Well, you just got to respect the grind, dude. You got to respect it's going to take 10 years and 10,000 hours. If you want to be a mother, that's going to take a long time. If you want to be a entrepreneur, it takes 10 years, 10,000 hours. You want to be a ballerina, it takes you 10 years, 10,000 hours. So whatever you want to do with your life is going to take some investment. It's going to take some pain. It's going to take some suffering. It's going to take some money, some time, some blood, some sweat, some tears. It costs. Everything in life costs. So you're going to have to figure out if you want something, or you say you want something, figure out what's it going to take. It's usually 10 years and 10,000 hours to be great at something. And whatever you decide to be great at, like I said, you could be a mother, you could run a gas station, you could be an entrepreneur, you could have a job, whatever. Just be great at it and put in that investment. Be prepared to pay in full, because you have to pay in full for success. You can't cheat it. You can't cut it. You can never do it cheaper. You have to pay the tuition, pay the price.
Amen on that. Great. Stefan, thank you so much for your time and your knowledge. What is the best way for people to reach out to you, and how can they work with you?
So they can find me on social media with my name, Stefan Arnio, Stefan Arnio, or go get my new book, HardTimesStrongMen.com. That's HardTimesStrongMen.com.
Perfect. Guys, I definitely suggest you checking Stefan's stuff. I do have links about all the things that we mentioned and the books and his social media as well on the description. So do go over there and click those things. Other than that, thank you so much for watching. Remember being empowered every single day. Remember to respect the grind. And I'll see you again with another host next week.
Thanks, bro.